Blog Talk Radio.
Round in the red sea. Shalom, family, and welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's Monday Night Radio Show, designed with you in mind. I hope I'm coming in loud and clear. Had a lot of trouble getting on tonight, as we did last week, but here we are. Anyone can text me and let me know if there's noise in the background or if I'm not coming through, but at any rate, the first two musical interludes that you heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host, this is Sister Shirley, and co-hosting is Sister Carol. Can you hear me, Carol?
Yes, I can. Blessed be the night. Shalom, Sister.
All right. All praises to his holy name, right? I'm glad to be back online. It was a rough patch because, you know, we're tied up in a thousand things and there's just so much you can do at one time and do it well. So at any rate, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this program, a part of the roundtable, to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and clicking on www.blogtalkradio.com/GOCC Church and look for our Talk Show. You can also reach out to us in a private email. We're Restoring the Daughters of Zion at gmail.com. That's Restoring the Daughters of Zion at gmail.com. Now, like I had mentioned earlier, we have been tied up in a lot of things from, we started out with Purim. We had put together this huge production for Purim, and it was fabulous. It really turned out well, and I wish we could have had a larger venue to invite more people. But we had like a black tie affair. It was wonderful. And then right on the heels of that, you know, we were learned that we were going to have Passover. So that took a lot of planning. And I know I just want to thank everybody that helped out. It was tremendous, and it was a lot. And then right after that, of course, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's like, who has time to do anything in this world? You know what I mean? Who has time to be involved? It's almost like, you know, can you keep a job? Because there's so much that we're tied up in just trying to keep the feast safe for those of us that are especially in administration. And so I would love to hear what everybody else, you know, thinks about that too. Carol, how are you doing?
Doing all right. We totally enjoyed the Passover. I won't say performance because that's a little strange, but it was a performance in the sense that it was a skit. Mm-hmm. But we enjoyed being there in Passover. And we do thank you for all your hard work, your team. Mm-hmm. It showed how much work went into it. And even with the little hiccups, it still was a beautiful play. And the entire congregations, I should say, have to give you a standing ovation, you and the team that you pulled together to help out, because you can tell there's a lot of work that went into it, especially with such a short notice that you had to just say, oh, pull that back out from 2 years ago. Oh, sorry. You know, that. The show has to go on, you know, the door has to open up, and you don't have a choice. You get on with what you have, and the Lord bless, and I'm grateful that I was there.
Yeah, you know, there was so many things, like we talked about, even when we were trying to just get the tent to put up, Carol. I mean, that was a job within itself, scouting around to find a company that would provide us a tent large enough for us. And then when we did finally find a tent large enough, we kept getting stories about there's going to be mud underfoot, you know, because of the having to deal with in the grass, and then the debate of whether we should get a floor and put down, which would have been another tremendous, I mean, the floor by itself was more than $30,000 just to get the floor. And so that was crazy. And we just said, you know, we're going to deal with wilderness dirt tonight, you know. And the funny thing was I didn't hear anyone complain about the floor. And I was so grateful. But the way the Most High did it was wonderful, because the tent was supposed to go up on Thursday. The tent people, who were really, really nice, they actually showed up and stayed on premise to make sure everything went well. And they had the heat working properly. I didn't hear anybody complaining about it. It was cold in there. It went well. And the thing was that when we were supposed to put the tent up on Thursday, the Most High saw to it that it got put up on Monday. And by Monday, Tuesday, that tent was up. The next day, rain came. So little did everybody else know, we were trudging through mud, getting stuff put up and placed in places to get in the tent, but under the tent itself was dry. Wasn't that a beautiful thing the Lord did?
It was beautiful.
We didn't have to worry.
Exodus, where he blew the river, the water aside.
Yeah.
And let us walk on dry land.
On dry land, because the mud outside was an absolute disaster. So by Friday, the outside began to dry up. so we didn't have to put too much cardboard down and what have you. But the outside did dry, but had that been wet inside, when that heat would have come on, it would have been major mud. So look how the Most High blessed. He blessed like crazy. And then when we got in the tent, when we got in, and I saw the stage and went to the corners where everybody was sitting at, I knew that was going to be a real hard thing because no one on those sides was going to be able to see anything. I said, they're going to be like they're in a whole nother venue. So we spent a lot of money trying to get screens. We asked for the screens put up, four projector screens. They came in with these plasma televisions. And I don't know how that worked out, and I'd like to hear from some people. A couple of people that were there, like, were way in the back in the corner, said it just kept going in and out, and it wasn't fun, you know. But they didn't.
People from our congregation, North Carolina, we struggled, and some of them really did just, you know, leave because they couldn't hear it.
It was rough. And New York was on the other side in the corner also.
We were in the corner in the back.
So were we. All on the left side, because our congregation was pretty big, we had some front seats way over on the left side, all the way to the back, and it was, I had people coming to me, going, well, what happened? Everybody can't sit in the front, and I'm not sure how we would ever do that. You know, I had really suggested that, you know, tickets be sold or prices be paid based on where you're sitting, you know? And
well,
I think that would still cause me trouble.
Maybe one year we can really get one that's set up like a theater where it graduates and goes up instead of that flat
ground. Well, see,
ground.
The key would be, like you said, graduating, and then if we had a place where we could eat at that was spread out, and theater-style seating where the program took place, that would be the, you know, ideal. And, you know, we even talked about folding up the tables and then bringing all the seats in theater-style, which would have made it where most people could see. The problem with that was the commotion. It was going to take too much to just try and stop everything, fold up the chairs, fold up the tables, move it. It would have been almost impossible. We would have needed two tents, one to eat in and one to go in for the, you know, for the play. But we're working on it, and you know what? We are not a professional production company, so there are going to be hiccups, and I tell you,
First of all, hang on for a second, Cheryl. Let me just pray in first. And
oh,
then
my goodness,
how
did I miss that? Yeah. Sorry.
I know. I just
thank
wanted
you
to give us two scriptures. I'm going to do John 14:27 and John 16:33. And I'll start out with 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And
thank
the next
you.
One is John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I read those scriptures because this is perilous times. I mean, there's so much stuff going on in the world that we need to know that the Most High leaves us peace. Because when the world says peace, sudden destruction comes. But when the Most High says peace, it's peace. Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you tonight for just letting us come on. We thank you for the holy days that are upon us as we count the Omar, heading for the day of Pentecost, Father. Mm-hmm. We thank you for just sparing our lives, allowing us to see another blood-bought day. Father, we're asking you for your peace in this world, not the peace that man offers us. We're asking you to bless the members of our congregation. We're asking you to bless our families. We're asking you to watch over all of us, those who know the truth, those who are trying to learn the truth, and even those who aren't, don't even know they need to know the truth. Father, we're asking you right now to bless this program for anyone that has had the opportunity to dial in. It may not be many of us, and it may be many of us. But, Father, we're asking you to bless the program, bless the things that we say, Father. Edify the congregation. Let us get smaller as you get bigger, Father. I thank you tonight. Heal those that are sick in their bodies. Touch our families that they may say, what must I do to be saved? Father, make them realize there's an anxiousness, that there is a time limit on finding you, Father, that we don't have all the time that we think we have. We have less time today than we had yesterday, Father.
We're
asking you right now, Father. We thank you, and we praise your magnificent name. In the name of Ahaya Bashem Yeshaya, Warawak, we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful name. What
Amen.
A wonderful name you have, too. So my thought is, and we can get right back into what we were going into, my thought is that we will have a somewhat small congregation tonight because we have not been on in ages and we've been forgotten about. And, you know, even though we've gotten a lot of text messages from people, you know, schedules change and people get involved in other things in this world. And so, you know, the word has to get back out that we are on the air again, and hopefully our we will have a larger congregation of sisters coming together soon. I did what I could to send out notifications, but it was rough. Nonetheless,
that's okay, because you know what? People who are here are supposed to be here, and that's the way it goes. People who are not here, there's no accidents. The Father has ordained whatever happens.
You know, it's so funny you would say that word, because I don't know who it was. Some of those great think tanks that they say, Socrates or Aristotle, or was it Dr. Spock? I don't know who it was, but he said there are no accidents. And I know he didn't mean it the way you're saying it right now, because the Most High has us where we need to be when we be there. But in this world, when they say there are no accidents, there are no, you know, nothing is a mistake and all that, they mean it in a whole different way. You know,
we're playing
in the world.
And all that nonsense. But what we're talking about is that the Most High is ordering our steps.
Thank you, Father.
And
thank
that's
you.
It.
A beautiful thought.
With his sovereign ways, his will and his way. Order my steps.
That's a beautiful
in
thought.
Your word.
Beautiful thought. Okay. You know, every now and then, you know, Most High, I look unto his spirit, and I'm like, you know, I would just like for you just to make me whole. Just make me do what you want me to do. Just make me. And the spirit, you know, spirit's not going to do that for me. He's going to make me, my will, change my will and my way.
Mm-hmm.
The one good thing that I do appreciate is that he called me and chose me, because I know I didn't have a choice in hearing his voice, and I appreciate it, Carol. I appreciate it that he heard my cry too and took me into the fold.
Yes.
But what I do have choices in is whether I'm going to live a comfortable life of obedience with him, a disastrous life, struggling out there in the world when I'm supposed to be in the fold. Because the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. And if we're transgressing the law of the Most High, we're going to be struggling out there. And even you mentioned today, like we've been talking, another reason why we weren't here a lot was one-on-one counseling sessions with people. You know, it's relative what's going on in your spirit and in your soul. And we get that. But sometimes we have to let go of the cares of this world and just be all about our Father's business. We have
to figure out
how to keep our heart and our mind in tune onto what the Most High would have us do. Because all this disruption. Don't you find that there's so much disruption that comes in your life on a regular basis just to distract you away from walking with the Most High in peace?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And he'll use anything that he can. Your children, your job, whatever, to distract you, to take your peace away.
Exactly.
But
when you don't have that peace.
Yes. He said, I've overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world. We can't let you wear us out.
And overcoming the world, when we see that and we know that Christ overcame the world, then we know we can do it also.
Yes.
We can do it too. But I keep saying it's not simple. But Carol, it is very simple. It's just doing what the Most High said do. The hard part is the struggle to not do it.
Like he said to Paul, the way of the transgressor, you can't kick against the prick. But he says the way of the transgressor is hard.
So when
we're not doing what he wants us to do, it's harder because it may seem simpler at that moment, but the way is harder.
Amen. It's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, nonetheless, I did want to kind of try to give some kind of explanation for where we were, what was going on. And, you know, sometimes, especially for those that were in the Passover and may have felt disenfranchised out there, it wasn't so. It really wasn't trying to get everyone together. And then just getting those tables put up.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But let me say something.
Go ahead.
It must have been, I think Elder Ricard said it, but we went over it in our congregation.
Mm.
Let me just find the scripture. Just give me a chance to bring the scripture up, because this is worth reading. From the word of the Most High.
Amen and amen.
Let me just get it out. Hold on.
Okay, but while you're doing that, I'm just going to say, what I loved was at least seeing the faces of all those people that we love, that we hear about, and giving everybody a chance to put on their white and come out and say, we love the Most High, and just to rally around the elders and let them know how many people the Most High really has coming in on their skirt tails. You know, it's such a critical move, you know, when you see that, and that's why it's so hard for people that are in leadership. You have to walk so circumspect, because you can stumble people without knowing it. Without even realizing it. I remember when I first stepped foot into the Brooklyn church, the elder asked me to go over and help get the sisters organized and what have you. And behind my back, unbeknownst to me, I was stumbling people because I came in with a pair of pants on. No, I didn't come in with some tight jeans and, you know, strutting through or anything like that. I probably look more like a homeless person than anything else. But I had on a pair of pants, and it stumbled a few people. And I learned about it later, and I'm like, well, gee whiz. I didn't get that memo that said I couldn't put on a pair of pants, you know.
Right,
and I thought
right.
it was hilarious, but just being in a position of leadership, you have to become more than you are. You have to
yeah.
almost put on something, but you can't please everybody. Did you find that scripture? I'm just trying to ramble on while you're finding
it. I found it. I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm ready.
So go right ahead.
So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to go to the 20th verse. It says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not
yes.
to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating,
uh-huh.
everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Okay, and here we go. I'm going to go over it. On the 20th verse.
What verse are you on?
I'm going back to 20. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So we have people who sat around and argued about the meal or what did we come to the Passover for? Not to do any of those things, but to honor the Father. And
Amen.
To be obedient, not for the meal, not for any of those excessive things that we were doing, all that extra stuff. And I'm saying it because they scolded us when we came back for complaining and having things to say. And the deacon stood up and he said, you're not here for that. So when little things go wrong, we should still be praising the Most High. Are we there just for the meal? Did we go all the way to Philadelphia just to get some lamb or whatever? No.
Or some entertainment.
We came there for the Lord's, for to honor the Passover, to honor the Feast of Leaven, the Week of Unleavened Bread. Not to all those extra things. I just wanted to add that in. This is a hard lesson, Charles, for us to learn not to complain about everything, because we can always find something to complain about. That's easy peasy. I was so ashamed of myself because I know I was one of them talking about the food. I had to go and sit and put a zip on my lip. And I can't do that anymore. We're not there just for the meal.
Yeah, and I heard that some people didn't even get a meal, that we had to go back out and have the catering company bring in more food. Because, I mean, you're talking about, well, first of all, we started out talking about 1,000 people, and it grew to 2,000 in 10 minutes, you know. And then, you know, just getting companies. Say again?
They did tell people, come on up for seconds. They didn't realize that Florida hadn't been fed yet.
Yeah. But whatever the situation is, here we go again. We are not a huge production company that's been doing this for 50 years. We're not. And we're all learning and we're all sharing and we're all doing the very best we can. And I don't know that I don't know. I think I got a plate of food. I'm not sure, but I didn't care whether I got a plate of food or not, because my soul was so involved in so many other things that if I had food, I didn't eat it. So, you know, it wouldn't have been a thing. You know, they would say, well, where are you going to sit at? It doesn't matter, because I will be on my feet, you know, and things like that. And then what the troubles that go on behind the scenes unless you're involved in it, you don't even know about it. And
yeah,
the stage guys changed three times because we had everything measured out with the curtains and everything, and then the size changed. So we thought, okay, let's get these plastic tablecloths, hang this cloth across, and use these plastic cloths because nothing else, everything else weighed that little line down. And the plastic cloths got torn up as they were moving it back and forth. And then the mic situation, I don't even want to talk about, you know. But nonetheless, you know, the Most High was magnified because we obeyed the scripture. We had Passover together. Like you said,
right.
We got there and we went and we had Passover. And the funny thing you can just say when you talked about Elder McCall, when he was saying that we needed to wait for one another.
Yes.
What happened was when we put the schedule together, Elder McCall gave word to start at, you know, on the schedule to start at a certain time now, you know. So I handed out everything and we knew about it, but they were waiting for Elder McCall to get there. And so Elder called me on the phone. He goes, well, what are y'all waiting for? I said, we were waiting for you. He goes, but I didn't tell anybody to wait for me. I told you to start. I said, wait a minute. You told me? He said, well, that's what the schedule's for, right? I'm like, oh my God. That wasn't, I'm not in charge of that. Let me get somebody else.
That's above my pay grade.
It's above, right? So when he got there, he was grateful that we actually waited, especially when he read that scripture, because, you know, no one felt like we could start without Elder, you know. But nonetheless, it was a lot. It was a lot, but I had a wonderful, wonderful time. I don't think we got any rest, you know, at that whole thing, you know, because I think the night we were putting everything together, I left out of there at 6:30 in the morning and got back at 9:30. So, you know, whatever. But we, like you said, the Most High was magnified. And that's the important thing. Whatever we're doing,
right.
We got together. Read that part, that one thing about coming together again. Let's just read that one more time.
When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. To eat and to drink in? I mean, we could eat anywhere. Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Amen.
Well, yes, amen to that. And I thank God that in the decision that was made for us to come together into one place. Isn't that beautiful that we actually was able to do it? So, and I'm hearing that we're going to try and do it again for Tabernacles and things of that nature. And so, I don't know. I know everybody's probably trying to get something done for Pentecost. These things are not simple. You know, they're not. It's a lot of work. And somehow we've got to find a way to rest also. We've got to find that time. So, again, I apologize for not being on the air, but I honestly felt like that was the one place that I didn't see how I could do it all. I didn't see it, you know, trying to get someone to work with us so that when we're not there, they can be there. But, you know, that's something the elders have to assign. We just can't throw somebody up there and say, hey, we're going to let you do this, you know. But nonetheless, let's get back into where we were before we took this hiatus. You know, we were in the Apocrypha, and we were looking at the scriptures in Ecclesiasticus or Sirach, and we looked at chapter 7, and that whole chapter, it was so serious when we were going through it. I don't know if any of the other sisters are on, if any of the sisters that usually get online and read with us are there. Sister Sister Betty, Sister Polly, Sister Aura, if you're there, press 1, get into the host queue, or if anyone's out there that wants conversation, press 1, get into the host queue, and we'll bring you in. We don't have a huge radio listening group tonight, so we can have time to hear you. So press 1, get into the host queue, and tell us about your experience for Passover, or where you were and what you did and what's going on for First Fruits. And we want to talk about that time, because are we presenting ourselves to the Most High in the best way? You know,
yeah.
are we bringing our first fruits to the Lord? But nonetheless, all right, let's look at, I think we left off at chapter 8, right, Carol?
That's where I remember. My memory's terrible, but that's what I had marked down.
And that's the Rock chapter 8. And I hope that's where we were, because it's even hard even going back to remember what we were involved in. It's really been a long time. It was been so long that Blog Talk was like, you know, you haven't logged on in a minute, so we don't know if we want you anymore. But maybe we can back up a little bit on 7. And see, okay, I just want to look at 7 and 35. Let's just look at that. It says, be not slow to visit the sick, for that shall make thee to be beloved. Isn't that wonderful, Carol? And I went to my mother-in-law's house, which was another thing that I was like not missing in action. And she said to me, you know, she was in the hospital, which was like a rehab center. She said, I was in the hospital for 3 months, and you didn't even come and see me. I was like, you know, they wouldn't let me in. It was, you know, we really couldn't do it. They would not let you in. And so I was hoping she understood that, because you know how sometimes your mind goes. She's 94 years old, my mother-in-law. And she really is always so excited when I come, but she cannot get up out of the bed. She can't walk. She can't sit up. She can't do anything. And so when you go to visit people like that and you see that they're sick, just that visit, she just lit up like a Christmas tree. I shouldn't even say that, right? She lit up like, well, whatever. She lit up, and I was really excited when she did it, and I said, wow. And the scripture says, so that shall make thee to be beloved. And then the next one says, whatsoever thou takest in hand, remember the end, and thou shalt never do amiss. But all right, so let's go back into chapter 8. And I hope this is where we were. But go ahead, Carol, why don't you start reading chapter 8?
All righty. Strive not with a mighty man, lest thou fall into his hand. Be not at variance with a rich man, lest he overweigh thee, for gold hath destroyed many and perverted the hearts of kings. I just want to look at that for a minute. Be not at odds or variance with a rich man, lest he overweigh thee, for gold has destroyed many and perverted the hearts of kings. Reading that makes me remember when it was David that said, do not let me get too rich that I forget you, or too poor that I'm poor bread. You know, money is power, and it can change our heart. And when we were poor and under the lash, we were much more faithful to the Most High, because we were dependent upon him for everything. But when we get money and power, we don't. And we think we can overrule those who have less than we do. I mean, I'm not saying me and you and what have you, but I'm saying that we've seen some really good people taken down by the fact that they have money. I have a friend who someone in her family won the lottery. And he got really, really stupid once he won that lottery and became a tyrant in his home. And it's just amazing to see how money changes you. So it's saying don't even get entangled with someone that has money. They can overweight you and destroy you.
You know,
and their hearts are being perverted.
Well, let me, I'm going to back up. It says, where it says, be not at variance with a rich man. And so at variance, you know, it's like disagreeing or quarreling, you know, with someone. It's a discrepancy between two statements. You know, you can find yourself in a lot of trouble. And I'm not even going to just say with a rich man, but just being at variance with anyone. You know, that's what it says, agree with thine adversary swiftly.
Right
now, every time you turn around, you know, it's like people want to argue about something. They want to complain. They want to, you know, and even we're finding that in marriages too, that it's a constant disagreement. Let it go. Just move on. Move on away from that. Because just being in disagreement, and disagreement about what and for what? Because how does it change? And I'm going to give the example that someone, well, I can even go into that movie Greenleaf that I struggled and watched anyhow, okay? And it was, of course, about church people, but this young woman was so angry about something that happened in the church family. And she insisted on digging it out and making sure those that did wrong got punished. And I'm going to tell you, when the scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God knows how to uncover something. And he knows how to uncover it without letting other people get hurt and destroyed in the midst of it. We don't have to be in that position where we're making sure you knew what you did was wrong. Most I will take care of that. He will straighten you out. But sometimes when we decide that we're coming on board and we're going to make sure that you get it, that you understand and that you're punished, sometimes we hurt 1,000 other people in the process of doing
that. That's right.
And in that picture, a lot of people got hurt and wounded and destroyed when their masks were pulled off. You never know why someone's wearing a mask. You never know why they can't deal with their so-called reality or live in their truth or what have you. Let them walk with the Most High and just keep feeding them the Spirit and the Scriptures with your walk, not with your words so much. Because that's the best way to teach anyone is how you are walking. When they see you healed, when they see you've changed, when they see your heart is right, there's the real lesson. So let's look at the next scripture, and I'll read that one. Strive not with a man that is full of tongue, and heap not wood upon his fire. All right. So, it's like stay out of the argument. It's almost just like what we just said, Carol, that we don't need to be fighting that battle, you know? We don't need to be in strife. And just making sure that when the Most High returns, that he finds us in a place of peace.
Yes.
That's not a simple place to be found in a place of peace, because right now in this COVID world, as we call it, we're losing our place of peace, and we're falling away to the cares of the world and getting crushed. I've heard some of the sisters and some of the families in the church walking away from the church for simple things, you know, and it's not great that, you know, people are so easily offended by things. We need to hold on to what is fine. We have to hold on to what the Most High gave us, because it's easy to walk away when you get distracted. You know, it's almost like a love affair when you're in a marriage. And if you keep looking at the things that your brothers and sisters, that your husband is doing wrong, you'll be out of that marriage in no time. You have to go the Philippian way.
That's right. Whatever is good, right? Pure.
Yes,
lovely.
Yes.
The other thing that you can't do is look across the street and think the grass is greener on that side, because as my mom would say, you still have to mow it. Doesn't matter. You go on the other side, you still have to mow that lawn. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So things don't change just because your surroundings change for a few minutes. New becomes old very soon. So whatever it is.
You know, someone sent me the scripture. It's Matthew 5:25. It says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou cast into prison. But you can start an argument and a fight. Thank you for that scripture. You can start an argument and a fight with someone and feel like, I got to get my point across. And next thing you know, you'll find out that you're the one in trouble.
Yeah, they disrespected me and this and that. Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah. You know, it's better to just take it. It's better, you know. And then one sister sends in, she says, the grass is green where you water it. So sometimes when you're not taking care of your home or your husband or your situation, the grass looks greener on the other side because someone's taking care of that. But when decide, isn't that beautiful? When you need to go ahead and water that grass and start cultivating what you have. And I've seen that so many times, all the way even down to hair, Carol. You can look at someone else's hair and lust after it, but if you're not taking care of your own hair, you're not going to have any, that's for sure. And you will feel like you can be jealous and you can wish and all that kind of stuff. But if you take care of what you have and rejoice in what you have, the scripture teaches us that when you do things, when you take care of what's small, the Most High will reward you and give you more stuff to work with.
That's right.
So
amen.
Thank you for that, sister. Thank you for that. So listen, go ahead and read 4, Carol. And my head is not here where we were because it just doesn't seem like we're where we were, but go ahead, we'll find it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just not with a rude man, lest thy ancestors do this.
Now what do you get from that? Anybody chime in and press 1 to get close to you. What are you getting from that?
If you're out there in the street, the Bible says that you should not act unseemly, right? So you play around with a rude man and he starts screaming and carrying on with you. You're going to embarrass, meaning your the elderly or whatever. You're going to embarrass your lineage too. Your name is being the same because you're out there with this person screaming and carrying on. And he said, rude man. So this is a person that's
just
out
to live
of
a quiet life.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know, the scripture says you do not act unseemingly. Yeah, living a quiet life.
Put the aura
and
into
it seems like, maybe.
Go ahead, Carol. I said, I think I see still the aura, and I'm going to bring her in, but go ahead.
Okay, it seems like a little bit like, hey, why are you guys covering this? Maybe because of the climate that we're in. Think about how people are so angry today. I don't know why we're so angry. But all we hear, and I don't even watch the news anymore, is just anger, on every side of things. You can't talk about anything. The minute you disagree, it becomes a fight.
So you know what, in this climate, we don't have time for anything but to figure out if our souls are ready. We really don't have time. We don't. And I wanted to say this, even some of the sisters that we've reached out to and their husbands have either walked away or not in the truth. And I know how much a burden that can be, because as a young woman, it always feels like you have nothing if you're not in a relationship proper with your husband. And I don't know what that means, that we just have that inert desire to have this little home and to be with a husband and children, that has to be working right there. If it's not working, we're unhappy. But right now, when you don't have control over that situation, the one thing you need to have control over is your vessel. Have control over you. And make sure you are continuing to walk with God and you're not worshiping the fact that you want this situation to be right. You want your situation with God to be the most important thing. And then He will straighten out everything else. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make sure you're walking in righteousness. Because when you're walking in righteousness, sometimes these trials and these burnings you have to go through to make you better. You know, you just got to go through it. And it's not simple. But being able to just let go of this, the cares of this world. And so, like, what are some of the cares of the world? I see Sister Aura out there. You on, Sister Aura? Hello?
Yes, I am. I just was able to get in. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We were talking about some of the cares of this world that are distracting us. And you want to chime in on that, or you want to just move on a little bit until you can get settled in?
Well, let me get settled in a little bit.
Okay. I want to respond to you in reference to the part that you said that, you know, we just want to cling on to these men. And I think about Genesis, the third chapter, verse 16, and it says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Your desire shall be to thy husband. I find no matter what happens, we still want to be with them, like you were saying.
That's right. It's inside
of us that the Most High has put there. And thank God He did. We don't want to be with these men. But sometimes it is a little overwhelming, because even though He's mistreating us, I find women who are even being harassed, endangered, they still want to be near that person. And we never recommend that. We always say, no, you got to separate yourself in that time. But it's in our
brain. All right, I'm going to bring in a caller too. And thank you for that, because you're right, because it's part of our I don't want to say nature, because that gets confusing. It's like you said, it's the Most High has put that in us. I see area code 917 that wants to join in. Area code 917, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 917, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Good evening, Sister Sherry. I got good your evening. Invite, so I decided to come on.
Okay. Well, you pressed one. How you doing, dear? You pressed one, so you
brought
me in. Well, it
says to press one if you need to be in the queue. You know, this is all new to me, Sister Shirley. I'm slow, so you got to give me a little bit of break, okay? You got to cut
some
slack.
Not a problem, my dear. You got a little bit.
But I want to just add something to what you said earlier, and it is so very true, because it's in the scripture, it's really throughout the scripture, and it's how you really raise your children. If your mother's on the call, and sister, I know your mom, and you said that we go around doing this and that, but it's really your behavior and how you live your life. That is what speaks bottom about who you are.
Yes.
And so it's what is caught, not so much as what is taught. Because I could teach the kids all these things. I'm doing the opposite. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to do the opposite of what I do. You know? So,
exactly.
So it's really what you said.
So true.
And the other sister that talks about Genesis, a chapter with our desires for our husband, and sisters who are married for years and years and years. You know, that's so true. But the young sisters now that are coming into this teaching, especially in Brooklyn Church, you know, we try to teach them, and not even so much to show them, let your desire be to serve the Most High.
Amen.
And let it be your desire to serve the Most High and put him first.
Amen.
Everything will be added onto you. You'll be at so much peace because there's
That's
no competition.
Right.
You're not competing with anybody.
That's right.
You know, and so that's what the young sisters need to understand and recognize. Let that become the focal point. Come into Shabbat. Come in to learn. Come in to study. Come in to grow. Come in to build a relationship with Ahiah and his son. And they will see how much their life will prosper. Their life will change. They'll be at peace within themselves because so much that can take you out of your peace. And when you are out of your peace, you cannot commune with your spirit and the Most High. So that's what
That was what
thank
was
you for
I'm
that.
So glad. I'm
really
so glad she made
that.
A mistake.
What did you say?
So glad you made a mistake and came on. She said.
And pressed one.
Oh. No, I didn't.
Okay,
it's so nice
sister,
because
you know,
the big sister. We have to teach these younger sisters because we were exactly where they are. We were our age because nothing has really changed.
Right.
Just the time.
That's
nothing
right.
has really changed.
And sister, that's why I'm saying I've been there. And sometimes when you're young, your mind is more on being in a relationship with a man than it is being in a relationship with Most High God. And some of us are sitting up in the church because we want to have a man. We want to get this man thing on. And we're following, but our side eye is on maybe I can get that guy over there. Yeah, And so that's where confusion comes in at. And that's where you start. Anytime you're in church and you're looking for anything other than the Most High, you're going to be in trouble in a short period of time. You're going to see people, their feet are made of clay. You're going to see them stumbling through, and you're going to falter in it. So you have to just keep your mind on the Most High. And, you know, it may not be that attractive. And I find that those Brooklyn young people seem to be pretty on fire for the Lord. And I really love that. I love it because they are on fire and they are willing to help. And it's a beautiful thing. It's just keeping your mind there, keeping it there.
Exactly.
Because I know when I was young and we got involved in the church as children, as soon as a man came in my life, it got dicey. You know, it just got dicey, and it so.
Let me put you back in, but
you could actually stay. You know, it's up to you. Go
if
ahead,
you'd
Gal.
Like, I want to say that the other day, the last Sabbath, we had a lesson on baptism, and just the week before that. One of the deacons was speaking, and he said, I want you to think about when you got baptized and why did you get baptized. And he just spontaneously asked people around the room to give their testimony about that. And there were various types of things that happen to people prior to baptism. And I was going to raise my hand, but I was a little slow. And he said, okay, let's just be with the last one. So I didn't want to just go, you know, like I used to do in school and go, ooh, 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 meet, meet. Yeah, I didn't do that. So I just sat quietly, right? So I thought about it, and I'm going to tell you what I was going to say. I was going to say, well, I was 13, and I wanted to sing on the choir because they told me that in order to sing on that choir, you had to be baptized. So I got baptized. And I have to be honest, it was mainly because the young people on the choir seemed really devoted to the Lord, and I wanted that. But I did want to sing on the choir. And then when I came, I really gave my life to Christ, and I was in the First Day Church. They told me I didn't have to be baptized again. But when I came to GOCC, they told me I needed to be baptized again. And as I learned, then I wanted to be baptized because I realized, you know, that there was a difference. Like they said, you know, that some, that the ones that were baptized under John and what have you had to be baptized and baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but not into titles, but into the actual Hebrew. And so the brother went over that, that again. I hope I get the words right because I wrote it down, but he said, let's think about the words. So Ahaya is like you're going to get baptized into his name, then Christ's name, and then into the Holy Spirit. So what does that really say? What is that sentence? It's saying, I am or I exist in the name of Yeshaya and the Holy Spirit. So I exist in his name and in the Holy Spirit. And I almost started crying. That is so beautiful because that's the new life. We exist in the name, and in the name of Yeshaya, and, you know, in the Holy Spirit. And that's so different from, that is truly being born again. That is being born again. Amen.
You're going to tell you that. And that's what we need to make sure, that when people are coming into the church and getting baptized, that they're not getting baptized because they want to be part of a club, you know, and things of that nature. But their soul is really, has really been changed. I see another caller. I'm going to bring them in. Area code 585. Area code 585, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, my sisters. How are you?
Very good. Shalom.
All praise. I'm blessed. Sister Bree. Sure y'all know. praise the high, y'all. Getting back to the radio show. Praise Most High. My beloved sister Sonia called in. Yeah, she inspired me, you know, to call in. Because I thought I'd share my testimony of, you know, between these. I'm married now, you know, how I met my husband basically a little bit. And I tell this even to the sisters I met my age. I'm 23, and I find a lot of sisters my age are, you know, I want a husband, da-da-da, and they're all caught up in that, kind of. And so I always share my testimony with them. And so I just remember probably a year before I met my husband, I just prayed to the Most High, saying, you know, I want a husband, but only when you feel that I'm ready. That's why I said to the Most High.
Amen.
And kind. And so at that point, I was just really staying focused on my relationship with the Most High and improving with him. And how it works is the Most High sees that you're obedient to him. And out of the blue, 2 years, at 2019 Tabernacles, that's when my husband and I got introduced to each other. And he's all the way in Florida, and I'm all the way in upstate. That's 1,000 miles away. So I know that's the Most High that brought us together. Even after meeting him, I didn't think anything of him at first. You know, but afterwards, I heard that he was interested in courting me. So that's how
And I you know, talk to Sister Shirley about wisdom, even if I should agree to court him. You know, if it was a good idea. I don't even know if she remembers that, but I remember calling her right away after I heard that he wanted to court me.
Oh, yeah,
her
wisdom,
I even do it. Yeah, so that's just my testimony, you know, for sisters my age, even younger, that have that strong desire to turn that strong zeal and desire that you have to want a husband, just turn it into wanting to serve the Most High, focusing on that. And when you're least expecting it, that's when the Most High will bring you somebody, because he'll feel that you're ready for, because honestly, marriage, it's the next level up, and you got to be ready to take that on. You know, because once you're a wife, you're judged off how good of a wife and how obedient you are to your husband. So
yeah.
That's all I want to say.
I'm glad things are going well for you guys. And you guys, as long as you keep the Most High presence in your life, you're going to be all right.
That's right.
All right, sis, I'll put you back in the queue. Thank you so much for calling in. All right. Yeah, so I think that, you know, anyone else that wants to call in, give their testimony, press 1, get into the host queue, and tell us, number 1, why you got baptized and how you enjoyed the Passover and whatever. We're just kind of just doing like a free night tonight. So it's your time now. You can press 1, get in the host queue, and say what you're going to say. Otherwise, you're going to just go back to the scripture and continue to read. So for right now, the queue is wide open, and the sisters are so shy. But go ahead, Carol. Let's go to the next scripture and stay with this.
Okay.
Oh, wait. That's somebody. Area code
right.
856. Chiming in. Area code 856. You're in.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
My take on the Passover, you know, Bishop over in Philadelphia, he says, if you're not tired after the feast day, you didn't do any work. I was so tired, I needed 2 weeks to get myself back together. And I said, I'm not doing this next year. This is just too much. I was taking my son to play rehearsal. We was up to 4 or 5 in the morning. But you know what? I would do it all over again. I just do it differently. Now, when it comes to that play rehearsal, I'm going to spend 3 nights up there near the church. I ain't trying to go back home. I'm going to sleep 3 nights right here, because if I go home, I know I'm not coming back the next day. But you know what? It's so rewarding.
It is
so rewarding when you do put your hands to the plow.
Yes.
And get involved in the work. And that's what it's all about. It's not
about
sitting back being entertained. It's not sitting back, just lollygagging, laughing. This is about the Most High, and it is His holy feast day.
That's right.
What we come together for. We come together for Him.
That's right. Amen.
So as tired as I was, I would do it all over again. Every bit of it, all over again.
It's the truth.
I
say it all the time. I'm not doing this again. I'm not. That's just talk.
You just got to find
talk.
A new way to do it. That's all.
There you go. Because, you know, we just, but in the world, we put ourselves into the world, into everything we did. When I go to work, oh, my goodness, I was in there with 2 feet.
Yeah.
And they couldn't care less about you. They couldn't care less about you on the journey. You that they really love you. And no. Get ready to leave. You'll find out. Or let them find someone better than you. When you find yourself in Christ in that position, the Most High will exalt you. When you humble yourself and come in and just continue to do things, because, you know, my daughter said to me, you know, Mommy, it's like the scripture with the talents says that, you know, because, you know, you look at somebody and say, well, why are they doing so many things? You know, the Most High say you got 2 talents and you multiplied those. Here's 4 more.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And the Most High will give you the ability to continue to do more with your hands. And how can we complain about the things that the Most High gave us to do? He gave us the ability to do it. How can we complain about what the Most High gave us to do? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing
that he allowed us to be a part of his kingdom. Isn't that nice?
It most definitely is a beautiful thing. You know, I was tired at Purim, then after Purim Passover, now first fruit, and every time I think I'm coming up for breath, it starts all over again. But it's all right.
No, it's all right. I know. It's kind of insane. I just put together a skit for the Feast of First Fruits, and I'm almost scared, you know, because I know the work behind it. So. But nonetheless, we just keep on trying. That's what we do.
That's right.
Praise the Most
all
High,
praise to the Most
thanks
High.
Thanks so much
yes,
for calling
all
in.
High.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome,
back
sir.
In the queue.
All praise to the Most High.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. Let's get back to the scripture reading. If anybody else wants to call in, press 1. Get into the host queue as we get back aligned with our sisters online. So where are we at? We have scripture 5, right? Verse 5?
I think we're
okay, hold on. We got another caller. We got another caller. I just want the sisters to be able to call in tonight, if that's okay, Carol. You want to read the scripture first
that's
and then
fine.
We're bringing the caller?
No, that's fine. Bring the sister in.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Area code 512. Area code 512, you're on the air.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, sis, how are you?
I am hanging in there and thinking about Passover, and you know me. I'd like to throw
I want to just say that we let everyone know your mother passed during this time, and I just want to, you know, send out our condolences, and we love you, sister, you know. But go ahead
Absolutely.
And say what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
It's all right, sister. It's all right. It's all right.
I just want you to know, Sister Diane, this is so normal in the sense of what you're breaking down, because I'm going to tell you something. If you keep going, I'll be crying about my mom who passed away in 2002. Mm-hmm. A mother is so special. We don't get over that. We learn to endure, to tolerate it. You will feel better as the days go on, but right now, you're tender, and the wound is so fresh, and we understand. So take your time, sis.
And seriously, there's nothing normal about the sting of death. Not normal.
No, there's nothing normal about it, but we understand her reaction is what
exactly.
I'm saying.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying, that's why we were acting like that, because it's just that. It's a sting. That this thing, death, is like God. The Most High has, from creation, put time indefinite in our hearts. And so this death thing is just no good. You know?
No, it's not.
So thank God we have that blessed hope. We have that blessed hope. We're not without hope. We will see our loved ones again.
Yeah, and that definitely is what I think about when I think of my mom, that we're going to have all eternity with our loved ones, and we really can't even fathom what that means. And so for those of you who don't know, my mom passed over just a few hours before Passover began, and as I continue on with my life and fulfilling the purpose that Ahaya has for me, I think of her and I think how she would tell me if she was here, I want you to fulfill the purpose that the Holy Father has for you, and I want you to move on. I lived my life. I want you to live yours and do what the Most High has called you to do. And she was...
Amen.
Best mom. I think every daughter says that about their mom, but thinking about Passover and the coming Passover, I know we just finished one, but for the next one, I'd like to throw out a challenge, and it wouldn't be me if I didn't can do something like this. But, you know, I've, for over 5 years, and I'm really serious when I say this, for over 5 years, I have been making this Einkorn sourdough bread. And you think, well, what does bread have to do with Passover? Well, when you go through this process, and I know a lot of people, you know, they don't want to go through it. They want to eat the bread. But going through this process at least once.
Yeah, that's me too. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Going through this process at least once is extremely spiritual. And I say that because you put a yeast culture together, or a sourdough starter, as many people like to call it. You put it together, and when you do, and that this is how spiritual it is, there's this colony that you can't see of living microorganisms, the wild yeast and the friendly bacteria. And they work together as a team. That itself is a spiritual thing. So these are microorganisms that we can't see, and these two work together to create a beautiful bread. The lacto-acid-producing bacteria, they give flavor to the sourdough starter or yeast culture, and the wild yeast, they leaven, they're what leavens the dough. And so when you make this yeast culture or sourdough starter, it, if first it's young, you create it, you know, and with flour and water, the water activates the wild yeast and the lacto-acid bacteria. It's just in the flour. The water activates these microorganisms. And it takes time for the yeast culture to develop or establish or stabilize itself. It takes about 6 days, and then you feed for the first three to strengthen the yeast culture. Well, your first loaf of bread, it comes out really, really good. Don't get me wrong. But as the yeast culture grows, matures, with every loaf of bread, you get a more flavorful bread each time. And you also get a fluffier, more open crumb in your bread each time you make it. So over the course of this year, your bread just is more flavorful, and it's just fluffier, and the crumb is just, if it can get any better, it just does. And then all of a sudden you find yourself at the end of the year, and we're, you know, all of us are in the truth. So what we do is we're supposed to rid our houses of leaven. And so this living thing, it's really sort of like a pet. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but it really is. It's something that you need to care for every day, minimally, but still, you care for it every day. You bring it out and you stir it to bring air into the yeast culture. And then you feed it once a week. Well, if you bake once a week, normally you feed once a week. If you bake more often, you feed the culture more often. But it's something that you care for every day. And you learn so many incredible lessons. You learn how to troubleshoot. You learn patience. You learn, I mean, I can never talk about the incredible and numerous lessons that a person learns when they go through this process. And then you take the yeast culture, the end of the year, and you have to put it to death. And so you spent a whole year, well, you started out, you created it, so you birthed it, you spent a whole year nurturing and nourishing your yeast culture, and it just gave you better and better bread. And then now it's time to put the yeast culture to death. And it's such a heartbreaking experience because you know, wow, my fluffy leavened bread, I have to let it go, and I have to go to this flat unleavened bread, which is delicious, but it's nothing like the fluffy leavened bread. So you take this yeast culture and you put it to death, and it's truly a heartbreaking experience. And then you think, oh my goodness, and you can't start another one, the wild yeast culture, until after the days of unleavened bread. So you're eating this flatbread and you're just dreaming about your leavened bread. And when can you get it started? Well, you have to wait. And then from there, it takes 9 days. So after the days of unleavened bread, now you have to wait 9 days. So now you have your leavening and you start the whole process over. But you know the leavened bread, the first loaf that you get, is going to be good, but not nearly as good as when time goes on. And so it's a lesson of when you work with the dough, watching the dough rise, leaven, you just see it poof or proof, and you look at it and you think, wow. Now, of course, you know, Paul describes all of this to me because I'm waiting for my eyesight to come back. But you watch this process. And it's just amazing knowing that your dough is raising and all of this, you can't see behind the scenes how it's all happening, but yet it's happening. And then you bake off.
I want to say that I love what you're saying, and it makes getting all the yeast out of your house, it makes a lot of sense as what our ancestors were doing. When the Most High said to get the leaven out, where you had this yeast culture in the house, because when we're looking at getting the leaven out, and of course the spiritual portion of that is also getting the leaven out of your heart and out of your life, but the physical part of that, getting that yeast out of the house, makes a lot of sense now, because we're looking for loaves of bread that have already have yeast in it, get clean the toaster out, make sure all this is out of the house. But when you're saying this leaven, this leavening agent that our ancestors had to have, it makes a lot of sense now. Don't you think so, Carol?
Yes, it does.
And the other thing is when the Bible tells us that the Israelites, they made flatbread. Well, it's because until your leaven or your wild yeast culture or sourdough starter, until it matures, like if you try to take it on day one or day two and make dough from it, you won't get a rise. You will just get this flat, pretty much tasteless bread. Because it's not ready yet. It hasn't matured. So there's no strength in the yeast culture to rise your dough. And there's no real flavor that has built up because the bacteria and the yeast haven't had enough time. So it is true when the Israelites went to make their bread, they didn't have a leaven that would rise their dough. They truly didn't, because it's a process of waiting. You have to wait and develop your yeast culture and be patient with it.
And I think that everything in this world right now is instant. And I think that's what's killing us, that everything we put in anything is add water and stir. And our lives are like that. We can't wait for anything. We can't wait for the Most High to send us a man. We can't wait to get a house. We can't wait to get married. We can't wait. We want instant gratification, and it's everything in this world is teaching us that. Everything. Everything is, you know, we've got these cell phones. I need to look up something. It's instant. It's instant. But what are the ramifications of the instant things doing to us? And so when you talk about this leavening that you put in bread that you're living on, and it's a high-quality flour that we're using, the einkorn flour. When you start talking about this, it sounds like this is life. You know, this is the way the Most High would have us live, that we're making our own yeast, that we're doing these things, all this fast, fancy, we've learned the way of the heathen. We've learned it. And it has become our life, and it has trickled down into every aspect of our life. It's sort of like how you're bringing out all the spiritual portions of just making the yeast. Not making the yeast has trickled down into our lives, where we are want everything to be add water and stir. Get it over with. Let's get that. You know, I need instant everything. And I think that that's what's destroying our physical body in more ways than one. There's a lady across the gate from me, and her garden always looks 100% better than mine, meaning her vegetable garden and what have you, and all the things that she's growing. And she's really smart with how she's doing things. But I just happened to see she's using that chemical Miracle-Gro in her garden. And so that stuff is causing her garden to grow faster, bigger, better, whatever. So it looks better than mine, but is it healthy? And I think so when I look back at, and I just want to make a confession here, I did mess up the yeast culture. I messed it up. I want everybody to know that. I put it together and it didn't work. It didn't work, and I was very frustrated. So I called Sister Diane, and I'm waiting for her to ship me one, but she's forcing me to do this myself, and I don't appreciate that. But nonetheless, the truth about it is that, especially when we get into the wilderness, if we don't know how to do this, we're going to be eating unleavened bread forever because we won't be able to go around the corner and get some baking powder.
Well, what's even more interesting is when Yeshaya references himself as the bread of life, because when you make this yeast culture, it is life. I mean, it is. It's like having a pet. And when you see, you put the yeast culture to death, and you think of Yeshaya's death and how he rose. I mean, I'm serious. It's like when you make this, you go through the entire process at least once, you will never view Passover the same. You'll have such an enlightenment about it, heightened enlightenment about Passover. And such a deeper insight into all that it means. Right now, it's like we have a
I got a question for you. So when you throw out the yeast culture, and this may be a question for the elders, do you also throw out the loaves of bread that have already been raised? If you have like 10 of those in your freezer, are those getting thrown out along with the yeast culture, or is it just the yeast culture that in your mind you're throwing out? Because I'm thinking anything that has yeast in it.
Okay, so technically, you know, it's anything that has leavening, so that would include the baked bread, but I have to go with what Elder Ricard says, and he says that it's really up to the individual, because if a person is poor and maybe they overbaked and they don't have the money to discard their bread, in that case, then they hold on to it and eat it, especially if they don't have the money to buy food. So that's Elder Ricard's take on it, and I definitely understand that, because, I mean, it's, nobody should starve if they're poor. Nobody should starve. And if they need that bread for substance, then that's definitely great spiritual advice from our elder, who I highly respect. So I always go to his teaching. But technically, if we want to get technical, we have the money, and it's not a problem or challenge for us, then yes, we should really discard the yeast culture as well as all of the bread, anything to do with the leavening. But at the same time, we need to definitely keep Elder Ricard's teaching in mind and say it's really subjective depending on the person. we're talking about. Now, my case, like this year, my goodness, we had bread like coming out of our ears. And I thought, oh, and a sister, I had some sisters in Texas here. Well, we'll take any bread that you can't finish. We had bread every night and gave some away. It was just ridiculously overbaked.
I didn't get any of that bread, Diane. I didn't get any. I just want to let you know that. I didn't get any, okay?
Well, you're not local. The local sister.
Yeah, whatever, okay? I'm gonna do the culture, I am. But really, I appreciate, you know, the insight that you brought, Diane, you know, and I appreciate the correlation with our spirituality and just the idea that we really need to get out of doing things on the instant way and start getting back to how our ancestors did things. So I praise the Most High for that, sister.
Yeah, so amen. For everybody, for the next Passover, this is the goal and this is the challenge I'm throwing out there, to get a deeper insight, and this Passover will be like none other that you've ever experienced. I've been through this for five years, so I really am telling you what you're missing out on. So that's what I wanted to share.
Okay. I'm willing. Thank you so much for that, Sister Diane. I'm going to put you back in the queue. I really appreciate that. Blessings and peace. Okay, so anyone else that wants to chime in and help us out tonight or just make a comment or ask a question, feel free tonight. We're kind of doing an open session here because we haven't been on for a while, and we do want to hear from you. We want to hear what's going on in your life. We want to hear whether you enjoyed the Passover. If you have anything you want to add to it, press 1, get into the host queue. And in the meantime, we will go back to the scriptures and just start reading and looking up what the Most High would have for us. Okay? All right. So, Carol, let's go back to Sirach chapter 8, verse 5.
Okay. Reproach not a man that turneth from sin, but remember that we are all worthy of punishment. Dishonor not a man in his old age, for even some of us wax old. I can attest to that.
Okay, let's take a look at that. To reproach not a man that turneth from sin. And this is not just a male figure, but anyone that's turning from sin. And this is what we got to be so careful when we're talking to people and they're not on the same level that we think we're on, you know. That sometimes, you know, you see people stumbling along and they're trying to turn away from sin, but we see other sins in their life and then we try to reproach them immediately. I remember when we had a sister that decided she was going to come to church with us and be part of our fellowship. And, Carol's just sending me a message. We've got kind of an emergency call coming in from someone that needs a lot of help. But let's tie this up a little bit, Carol, okay? So I kind of forgot what I was saying.
You were talking about someone that we have to be careful.
Yeah, you remember the Sister Carol when we were young. And we were walking with God, and this sister had left her husband. And we were like, no, sister, you have to go back to him. You cannot. You are going, God is not going to appreciate, you know, what you're doing if you're not obeying and obedient. And she said, well, I can't walk with God, then I can't do it. I can't. And she left. She left the church. Now, we looked at that later on, and we felt really bad that we came at her like that, because I see her husband right now, and he is on the street a drug addict like crazy, out of his mind, and doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking this is what she was so afraid of, that we would have had to deal with this, you know, that she would have had to deal with in getting back with this man, and she couldn't handle it. She could not handle it. But we were so busy reproaching her and telling her, listen, no, you have to do this. It's just pray for those sisters and brothers, you know? Pray for them that they can continue to walk upright, because our stumbling block, no one is seeing. It's well hidden, you know? Maybe we're not talking properly to our children. Maybe we're not dressing properly. Maybe we're not praying the way we should. That's something that's between us and the Lord that we have to pull in gear, and it only makes our walk a lot more difficult. But we cannot just look at somebody on the outward appearance and say, oh, no, sister, you got to get it together. And the scripture that comes to mind to me is when the Pharisees and scribes brought the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery.
Uh-huh.
And we know that sin is punishable by death. By death.
Yeah.
And then Christ said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. So for whatever reason, our master decided this woman did not need to be put to death, that she should be forgiven. So we don't know the inside, the outside. We don't know what was in her heart. We don't know why she did it. Maybe she was trying to feed her kids. We don't know.
Right.
The thing is that the Most High, through Christ, said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. And then he said, where are thy accusers? And she said, you know, they're gone, basically. And so we have to see life through that kind of a glass, just walking in forgiveness and letting the Most High deal with those people that we feel are not in where we are, if we can be so haughty, because technically that's what it is. But what we're going to do is, Carol, is 9 o'clock okay, or is it like now?
Well, let's just go on and finish at 9 o'clock, Cheryl.
Okay, we will end at 9 because we have to take care of something. But someone sent me a scripture reference to read, and she sent us Matthew 5:25, and that was the scripture, agree with thy adversary swiftly. So hold on. She sent Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we as women, we can build a whole sermon off of that one scripture. Husbands, love your wives. We can go there with it, because it's like, do you love me? You know? And we can go into a lot, but what we need to worry about is, are we doing what we're supposed to do? Never mind Club Spanky. We really have to deal with what we're doing. So she gave us Ephesians 26. It says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And we are that church. How can we become holy and without blemish? How can we be sanctified? It says we are washed and sanctified through the word. You got to stay in the word, sisters. And it says the sister that said the water activates the yeast, just as the water, meaning the word, activates our spirit man to be righteous, holy, and set apart. So that's what she got from what Sister Diane brought out, and that was beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was beautiful. Wasn't that beautiful? Praise the Most High.
Yes,
for it.
Nice.
Praise his holy name. Yep. So we need to make sure that the yeast is taken out of our lives, and not just at Passover, You know, we have to get rid of that old man. You know, Deacon Shamal, I love him. He read a scripture last week, and this scripture has always been troubling me. The good that I would do, I do not, for evil is present. A lot of times I've heard people use that scripture and what follows it to justify the sin that they're doing, because they're saying it's the flesh that's sinning, it's not me, my spirit is saved and I'm good. But, you know, sometimes that spirit, you know, like, I the good that I would do, I do not. But he brought out, why do you not do it? He said, because evil is present.
That's right.
He said, you have to get that demonic spirit out of you so that that evil is no longer present. And then you can walk in the spirit rather than walking in the flesh. And I was like, well, praise the Most High for that, you know, because that's where it really is at. We have to figure out how to get rid of that haughtiness, that spirit of all about me, you know. And we're, and if you want it to be all about you, let it be all about you, how you can make you better, how you can walk more upright, how you can do what you're supposed to do. I learned during my first marriage that I could not change my husband. The only one I could change was myself. And when the Most High called me and touched me and changed me, he didn't change my circumstance. He did not take me out of that circumstance. He left me right there in the fire that I was in. But when he was walking with me in that fire, it made all the difference in the world. All of a sudden, I could breathe. I could stand tall. I was no longer afraid. I could continue to live and take care of my children. And I found peace and happiness in the midst of a storm. And that's what we got to learn how to do. Because Most High, I find most of the time, is not going to change our circumstances. He's trying to change us. And he will. He will help you if you will allow the Spirit to guide you and to walk in the Spirit. He will change you.
That's right.
Okay, so if there are any other sisters that want to dial in, we're going to get off tonight at 9 o'clock because we have to get on with a sister that we have to take care of something really critical. So we've only got like 10 more minutes. You can press 1, get into the host queue, and make a comment. Sister Diane, if you want to come back on and give us any more information, you can, but I'm going to pick up area code 856 is dialing in again. Go ahead, 856. You're on the air.
Yes, I'll praise you the Most High. I'm the one who texts you that the grass is green where you water it. Also, I have a quote that I like.
Amen.
That's all I want to share. That queens uplift your king. You cover them.
Amen.
You protect them, and you just cover them. So like I said, you cover them.
Are you married, sister? Are you married?
I live as a widow now.
Okay. But that is good advice. It's good advice for us to cover. Because you know what that scripture says? Love covers a multitude of sins. And so if you're not that covering, you need to ask yourself, am I loving? Am I really loving? Because that loving is so critical. And we're gonna try to talk about how we love, and are we really loving, or are we saying we love? Because just like we say, oh my goodness, I love these people, and I love my African brothers and sisters, I love my this, I love my that, but really, what are we doing? Because love is that action word that the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so when we love, we have to show what we did that proves that we love. And yes, so sister, doing that covering for our kings is an important piece of that. Very important. Thank you for that, sis. All right. Okay, we got another call.
All right, we got area code 646. You're on the air. Area code 646.
Hey, Shalom. This is Sister Diane.
Hey. How you doing today, Diane?
Good. Just want to say this real quick. I'm to the point. When you mentioned the microwavable, us, you know, wanting everything microwavable and instant, if the Most High dealt with us, we'll be in trouble. That's why it says he's long-suffering, and that's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Yeah, Shalom, sister, and that long-suffering, when you talk about, and so she just threw it out there, because love is long-suffering, and it is kind. And that being long-suffering, you know, your suffering will be a lot less when you look at why you're doing what you're doing. When you're doing it for the Most High God, it doesn't hurt as much. It really doesn't. And sometimes it's like, even though you're getting the same reality out of it, it's like, you still, it's all our mind. This is why the scriptures be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because, like, all right, you hear a baby scream out in the middle of the night, and you got to go up and get that baby. By the time you get to the baby, it's like, oh, come on, all right. And you're so, you know, at peace and at ease with that baby. But let it be somebody who called you up in the middle of the night with some foolishness, you know, and you wake you up. It's like, what is it? You woke me up for that, you know, and it's pretty much so the outcome is the same, but it's the way we receive what's coming at us, you know, and if we can learn to just have that same spirit of love and forgiveness for all those that come toward us, and I mean, I really got to learn that too, because sometimes I react especially when I'm busy, you know. And I may say something, and then I have to go back and say, you know what, I didn't mean to say that like that, you know. But sometimes the damage is done. You can't unring the bell. So it's just that, like, I know I messed up with my sister Carol because she came to help me at the Tabernacles. And you can go ahead and tell that story because I'm not scared of you, Carol.
Yeah, I came out there. She was so busy, and I said, well, let me help her. And I went and I started tying bows and setting up the area that I knew she was going to work in. And she comes over, looks at it, and says, no, who did this lousy job? I can't. And just went on. I just said, well. And I walked away and left her out there. I told my husband, I said, I'm not helping her anymore.
I don't even know why they came out like that, but I'm learning. I really am, that everybody's passion is not my passion, and that if anybody can give me anything as much as a cup of water, I'm grateful for it now. I've had to learn a lot of things, and I had to learn that even raising my children, I demanded perfection. I demanded it. And, you know, listen, I taught them a lot, but I did some damage out there. So now I'm trying to do some damage control, because a lot of it boils down to pride. A lot of it boils down to pride. You got to remember, let the Most High be magnified in whatever you do. And was the Most High magnified? That's what you got to worry about. Did we praise him? Was he glorified? Once that's done, you go home and you sleep well, you know, that you do what you needed to do. All right, well, we're winding down because we're going to get off at 9 tonight. And if anybody else wants to chime in, like, really quickly, we can. Otherwise, we're going to, you know, look at one more scripture and we're going to pray out. And hopefully we can come back in next week with an agenda and really get through it. And we love it when you guys send us text messages and tell us what you'd like to talk about and things of that nature, because it helps us. We can know what you're struggling with. And this is your forum. So if you want to talk, you can. You don't have to tell us who you are. You can come in incognito. And so that's your call, though. But I do understand the shy part. I do understand it. But anyway, Carol, let's close out with a scripture because we are at the bottom of the hour, at the top of the hour. We got like 4 minutes. And so why don't you read a scripture or read one of these scriptures and let's move on.
I'll read 1 Peter 3:10-11. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Amen. Blessed Eternal Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for the sisters that called in, and our souls were blessed. We ask you right now, Father, to touch Sister Diane, to comfort her in these days. And we thank her for that uplifting amount of information that she gave us on Levin.
Yes.
And Father, that many of us may follow the creating and taking care of the leaven through the year and making the homemade bread and nourishing our families with good food, Father. We thank you so much for all the sisters that have so many ideas. As they say, it takes a village, but Father, it takes you. And I thank you, and I thank the children of God. In the name of Ahayah Bashim Shishaya, let us all have a blessed night. Aman.
Aman. All right. We'll see you guys again next week. And everybody be at peace tonight, okay? Blessings and peace. Good night.